Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, it's your morning show, Ethan's Corey show. Good morning. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. The shock heard around the world, the breakup with Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Have you had to shed some tears? You had to have some moments where you were like, oh my God.
Me, I'm trying to tear
up once, yeah.
Walking down the sunny night in park, I saw you in another's arms. Only a month we've been apart. You look happier. So you walk inside a bar. He said something to make you laugh. I saw that both your smiles were twice as white as ours. Yeah, you look happier.
It may have been time for her to
say what she really feels and set the record straight on a few things in general before we talk about specific answers and parts of the conversation. How is she doing? I was thinking about yesterday how I would describe her. If I had to use only two words to describe how she is now, I think she's still bad as you would be 6 months after ending a seven-year relationship. But hopeful. She's very optimistic about her future. Her career is going great. She's got four new movies coming out in recent months. She's spending the summer filming another one. And she's got an awful lot to look forward to, and she knows that. And she addressed some of the rumors. I mean, gosh, in the mountains of ink that had been devoted to this story. And one of them was that, you know, that somehow her not wanting to have children contributed to the dissolution of this marriage. And she says that's absolutely not true. In fact, she intended to be pregnant this year.
I think that was really the cruelest thing that was written about her. And she feels it's just so sexist and misogynist because she said to me, I want to have children. I've always wanted to have children. I plan to have children. The plan was always that when Friends ended, she and Brad would start a family. And she said, you know, no man who is divorcing ever gets accused of putting his career ahead of his family. But they said that about her based on absolutely no truth.
What did she have to say about Angelina Jolie and her role and what happened?
Jennifer has bent over backward not to trash even Brad, let alone Angelina. And she only met Angelina once. Ironically, she went up and introduced herself to Angelina and said when Angelina and Brad were starting to film Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Jennifer went up to her and said, hi, Brad is so excited about working with you. I hope you guys have a really good time together, which was very gracious of her.
Was that before she knew that there was anything up?
Obviously. Oh, yeah, before they started doing the movie. And that's the only time she's ever met her. And I, you know, she's been very, very restrained. And I think not only what she says, but what she even permits herself to feel about that.
At the same time, I understand she cried for a period of time during the course of the interview when you talked to her about the possibility of Angelina Jolie being pregnant with Brad Pitt's baby, and her eyes welled up with tears, and she got very, very emotional at that point.
I think she's tried really hard to avoid the tabloid gossip media because so much of it is false. And
pretty next to impossible, isn't it?
It's hard, and some of it leaks through. And there were a couple of shocks. I think it was a tremendous shock to her when the pictures of Brad and Angelina frolicking on the beach in Africa came out because it sort of presented them as an infant family with a baby, and Jen had expected to be having her own baby with Brad during this particular year.
And then there was that Spreading W Magazine.
There was Spreading W Magazine, which Jen, you know, she tries not to look at this stuff. She says, I haven't seen it, but her friends were just appalled because, you know, it was clearly, I mean, Jen at one point said to me, well, clearly there's a sensitivity tip that's missing, you know. I mean, you know, it was not the most considerate thing for Brad to be putting all of that out when she was trying to deal with the end of a marriage that, you know, she was committed to, and then clearly in some ways he wasn't.
I know that shortly after or during the course of this interview, Courtney Cox actually told you that about Brad. I don't think he started an affair physically, but I think he was attracted to her, meaning Angelina Jolie. There was a connection, and he was honest about that with Jen. Most of the time when people are attracted to other people, they don't tell. At least he was honest about it. It was an attraction that he fought for a period of time. So does she believe that they were physically involved before?
I think it's ironic and good timing that you're doing something on emotional cheating because at the very least there was clearly emotional infidelity. Jennifer said to me, you know, from the moment Brad started filming Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he was gone. He was just not there for her. Friends ended. She needed a lot of emotional support. It was the end of a 10-year family, you know, and job and community for her.
And he just for the last taping, even come for the last taping, he was just gone. You know, it was like, I'm working.
So, you know, whether or not there was physical cheating, he was emotionally absent in her view. As far as whether there was, you know, a sexual relationship or not, she said to me, in the end, I don't know. I'll never know, but I choose to believe my husband. you interviewed them a year before this article, and they did seem like the ideal Hollywood couple. I think that's why it was so upsetting to so many people that
well,
it didn't work. Did they seem happy when you interviewed them?
They seemed very happy together. They were very affectionate. I had also interviewed her at the beginning of her marriage, but if you read back over what Brad said to me a year ago, you really find clues to the whole thing, because what he said to me a year ago was, I asked him, obviously, about marriage, and he said, you know, I don't go for this, you know, till death do us part stuff, and, it, you know, as long as it's good, as long as it's growing, you know, then you go on, but if it stops being good, you know, I don't see any reason, I mean, stay in it, basically, was what he was saying, and Jennifer's view of what marriage, you know, consists of was very different. It was that this is a commitment, and you're in it for better or for worse, and those are two very different ways of looking at marriage, and that was a big part of why they're not together now.
I know that when Nicole Kidman divorced Tom Cruise, she said that the one positive aspect of this was that she could wear heels again,
mm-hmm.
and you asked Jennifer that question?
Brad is very into a modernist aesthetic, and when I saw the house that they had redone for themselves, it was all sort of hard edge materials and, you know, very uncomfortable modern furniture. So when I asked Jen what she was looking forward to, she said, well, having comfortable furniture again. She was not quite in line with his aesthetic some of the time.
Well, it was a very candid interview, and we all wish her well. We all wish them all well, but thanks so much for coming in, Leslie Bennett.
You're welcome.
To see you again.
Thanks.
And the
yeah,
September show Vanity Fair, by the way, hits newsstands today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. on the CRVEX is better than ever. It has more passenger and cargo volume than the RAV4, with more horsepower than the Subaru Forester. Contact your Honda dealer to learn more or shop online.
I'm a demon and I'm a demon. Oh, Thank you. Oh, didn't love you too. I should have settled, but I never should have let you go. I did my mouth and I was stupid, I was foolish, I was lying to myself. I couldn't have thought that I would ever be without you. Never imagined that I'd be able to give it all again. Didn't know you could do it, but I knew everything I did was bad.
When you believe, so how will you wait? Thank you.
life from her fifth ever. Her voice, with sweet lyrics about standing by her men, then sealed the deal of his church success. After experimenting with soul and gospel with her previous effort, Emotion, Perry returned to straight-up pop and R&B with this hit. Instead of focusing on heartbreak, Mariah hopes for someone better in the future. Dream Lover took off and became her seventh number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 and one of the songs of the summer. Critics loved the song as well, including its tough-end production, as well as Amy's restraint when it came to her trademark vocal acrobatics. Number 8, Vision of Love. This song premiered as her debut single, and it instantly catapulted Mariah to superstardom. While Visions of Love's beat and instrumentation have the typical pop sound of the era, Carrie's voice showed more range and depth than many other artists of the time. It reached the Hot 100 top spot in just 9 weeks, and that's the song with 3 Grammy nods and 1 win. Critics have since cited the track as one that helped shape modern pop music and influenced many artists thereafter. All I Want for Christmas is You. Not every pop star can say they have their own Christmas classic, but Mariah sure can. Instead of recording a holiday standard like most artists, she co-wrote this 4-minute number and helped produce it as well. And material things mean nothing as long as she has her love. All I Want for Christmas is You adds a fun and sexy feeling to the holiday season. In addition to its worldwide success, the song is also one of the best-selling singles in music history. Number 6, Honey. This song marked another shift in Mariah's career as it pushed her towards a more hip-hop influenced style. Written with artists like Q-Tip and Puff Daddy, as well as super producer Stevie J, Honey also had a more sensual sound than her earlier number one hit, as it sampled tracks by the world's famous Supreme team, Treacherous Tree. Oh,
Mariah both co-wrote and collaborated with Jay-Z for this track, Off Rainbow, marking the first time she released a single featuring a rap artist.
Yeah, look, she wanna shop with Jay-Z, she wanna fill a fight in the middle of the night, she wanna drive my man's bed, follow a friend, she wanna treat men to black, find again.
Song is a classic she-said, she-said story. Carrie singing about being addicted to her bad boy lover. Another Billboard number one, Heartbreaker achieved even more popularity thanks to a creative music video that reportedly cost $2.5 million to make. Number four, Hero.
Hero.
This song almost wasn't hers. In fact, Hero was originally written for Gloria Estefan, and Mariah didn't really connect to its sound until she gave it more of an R&B influence. And we're glad she kept it, because it has become one of her most motivating ballads.
Oh,
of the perfect spot meets R&B sound, this song just crushes all the competition, even her own original version. To help her cross over, Mariah paired with an unlikely collaboration partner, ODB from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Hey Mariah, you act like this, you're back to fire. After Togo, I, she's the cleanest behind my fire.
By sampling its beat from Genius of Love by the Tom Tom Club, Fantasy achieved its funky feel, while Old Dirty Bastard's rap gave it a hip-hop edge.
I'm a little bit of a rock.
It's the perfect mix of sweet lyrics, a danceable beat, and the sexiness of a 90s hit. One which was also significant in bringing R&B and hip-hop to the masses. Do you agree with our list? Which Mariah Carey song is your favorite? For more chart-topping top 10 published every day, be sure to subscribe to WatchMojo.com.
Thank you. I don't want to be Oh, could have not dreamed it wrong. Now I look around, feeling I don't know, trying to believe that you're gone.
What? You might say
wouldn't say I believe in you wrong. Oh, oh, and now I'm
what? Mariah Carey and Mark Blake's time, and comedy with Sugar Egg Queer.